This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You're listening to Orange and Blue Bloods, hosted by EJ Stewart and Tommy Beer. Let's get to it, New York.
So the Knicks completed their final trip out west this season with a dominant second half performance and a win over the Trailblazers, 123-107. The Blazers led by as much as 16 points in the first half as the Knicks continue to struggle with their outside shot, which has been a bit of a story for them for much of the last four or five games. But the Knicks got a lift from the second unit, which helped them get back into the game in the first half. And then the Knicks just began to pull away in the third quarter, scoring 42 points, outscoring Portland 42-16 in the third quarter, which was just a complete annihilation there. Emmanuel quickly led the Knicks in scoring, 26 points, 10 rebounds from Quick. You don't usually see him. He's a good rebounding guard, but you don't see him in the double-digit numbers when it comes to rebounds. So 10 boards to go along with those 26 points. Julius Randle added 24. RJ Barrett added 22. But the story of this game really was the bench. Deuce McBride had his best game, perhaps, as a Knick, a career-high 18 points. Josh Hart, a near triple-double, 16 points, 9 rebounds, 8 assists. Isaiah Hartenstein had no points, but he had 11 rebounds. Obi Toppin pitched in 11 points. The New York Knicks bench unit outscored Portland's reserves 45-12. Again, another dominant aspect of this game was the Knicks and how their bench just really flipped the game on its head. For the Trailblazers in this one, you got 38 from Damian Lillard, who, as Knicks fans were questioning whether or not he could still play. Not that I think that they were. You learned last night, Damian Lillard definitely could still play. He still got it. He was phenomenal in this one. But didn't get much help outside of that. Anthony Simons at 22. Cam Reddish, who made plenty of headlines, slammed the Knicks this week, saying that the reason why he got benched had nothing to do with basketball and all about politics, posted just 2 points and netted a -27 plus minus in this one. So all good things to talk about when it comes to the Knicks win. Now, after the game, a lot of Knicks fans, I think, are waking up to something that they didn't expect to see. So Mitchell Robinson, who played in this game, did not finish this game in terms of the final unit that ended the game on the court. And that's kind of been a little bit of a recurring theme now that it's been Hartenstein closing games, not Mitch Robinson. Either way, Mitch Robinson took to Snapchat, an app that I think most people don't even remember is still active, to express frustration about his role. He said, "Tired as F of just being out there for cardio, fam. Like, I want to play basketball to really just wasting my time and energy." And then he later posted disappearing for a while. And I guess that was his way of saying he won't be on social media, or at least on Snapchat, much longer. And then he later then tweeted this morning, "Likes decline, but the views are great. Good night." So I don't know really what to make of the Mitchell Rob frustration and the tweets that he had on Twitter. But Mitch, I guess, is saying that he's not happy with the fact that he's not being more involved in the offense. Perhaps he feels like he should be getting more productive minutes. Before we get to the Mitch Robson, let's focus on the positive here to start. With this bench mob, and I think that's fairly called a bench mob now. You know, I don't like to use that term unless you're really balling out. But this bench unit is becoming a bench mob with how they're performing. How were they able to turn the tide in this game?
No, that's an important point. Like, we need to come up with a nickname for this bench, so maybe we'll reach out to Twitter. But they're playing that well right now.
Should they just be the Hart Foundation? I mean, like, the Hart Foundation, I know people think of the tag team of, like, Bret Hart and Jim Neidhart, right, of course. I'm a huge wrestling fan. But, like, the Hart Foundation later in the 90s, like, expanded to, like, five or six people. Like, you know, like, why can't they just be the Hart Foundation? Josh Hart and IRA Hartenstein leads them. Let's just, like, expand it beyond just the tag team of I Hart and Josh Hart and just say, hey, the whole bench mob is the Hart Foundation. They play with a lot of heart. They played with a lot of heart last night.
It makes a lot of sense for a lot of reasons. We'll reach out to the creative folks on Nick's Twitter and see what they have to say. I kind of dug into the numbers this morning. 13 games since Josh Hart's arrival. Nick's 10-3 in those contests. New York's bench has posted a league-leading net rating of +8.4. Only one other team in the NBA, their second unit, is north of +3.7. Knicks have outscored their opponents by 81 points in 228 bench minutes. And as you mentioned, the kind of the linchpins of that bench unit, obviously Josh Hart since he arrived, and also Isaiah Hartenstein. NBA leaders in plus-minus over the last 5 weeks, over this 13-game stretch. Isaiah Hartenstein, +146. Josh Hart, +144. Drew Holiday, +121. The NBA leaders, not just on their team, not just in the Eastern Conference, not just among starters and or reserves, of all NBA players dating back to the trade deadline, Isaiah Hartenstein and Josh Hart have the highest individual plus-minus. And obviously that speaks to, where the Knicks are, how well the Knicks bench has been playing. And then the best player off the bench, could be Hart. But the player enjoying his career game last night was Deuce McBride, somebody we've called for, for extended minutes for dating back to the first episodes of this pod. Season turned around once the nine-man rotation. Tibbs shifted from the veterans, the Fourniers and Rose, yeah, Rose. And Cam Reddish's, and went to the nine-man rotation of which included Deuce McBride, which surprised some people, but there's no surprise. It shouldn't be shocking that he was a key contributor given how well they played. In terms of his individual net rating, it's +7.8. That's second on the team, behind only Josh Hart. So among players that have been here since the start of the season, Deuce is number one in terms of per 48 minutes, the Knicks outscoring their opponents. And obviously a lot of that has to do with defense. New York allows just 104 points per 100 possessions with McBride on the floor. That's the lowest among all Knicks reserves. And that's one of those things where the metrics match the eye test, because you just watch this kid. And even when his shot isn't falling, and his shot has not been falling for the better part of this season, plays the passing lanes, plays with intensity, sees the floor, does not die on screens, is great help defender, gets back in transition. We saw that great block on Simons last night. He just does it all, from a defensive standpoint. And obviously less into that, we had him knocking down shots. When you knock down 4 3-pointers, that's kind of unlocks the final aspect of McBride. My favorite McBride metric, dating back to the start of his rookie season, so since last year, he's played more than 15 minutes 26 times. The Knicks are 21-5 in those 26 contests. Wow. So that's a winning percentage of almost 81%. And again, that's 15 minutes. That's not human victory cigar. They put him in at the last 30 seconds, or the last 4 minutes of a blowout. That's playing in the first half and the second half, 15 total minutes. The kid just impacts winning. And those are the type of players that establish themselves as rotation players. We saw it manifest itself. When one guy doesn't have a great night, another guy steps up. Obviously, Knicks fans had to be nervous at the start of that first quarter that this wasn't going to be a night. And honestly, probably they wouldn't have blamed if they let go of the rope. Exhausting season, exhausting road trip. Guys playing a ton of minutes. No Jalen Brunson. Team comes out flat. And what happens? Josh Hart and McBride and Hartenstein and Obi played well. They refused to let the Knicks lose. Knicks win an important game. Now at 4 days off to get rested, to get healthy. And, you know, here they are, 71 games into the season, 11 games over 500. I didn't think we'd be here. So impressive to watch.
Yeah, really impressive. And talking about the play of Deuce McBride, to me, it felt like that game just shifted on that block. Like, you know, Knicks have started to climb back in a little bit. They're down by 8 at that point in the game. But when you know, it was such a great effort, such a dominant defensive type of play. I just think it kind of told Portland that, like, okay, you guys have had your fun. Now, like, the real game's about to start. And it started with that play. And Deuce McBride, he came in the game and immediately was getting deflections, even in that first quarter, they were down by double digits. So I kind of knew what time he was on, at least defensively, to start the game. And he's usually playing that way defensively anyway, but he was particularly active early while the Knicks were down big. But once that block happened, I said, okay, this is going to be a different game from here on out. And it was another game where the refs were letting guys play. It was a physical, ragged kind of game for a lot of this. I think in some ways that helped the Knicks because they weren't playing with much defensive intensity. So when they did pick it up, they didn't get buried by all these fouls. You know, they were fouling literally quite a bit. He's great at getting to the line, but the rest of the guys on the court, they let play. Little was getting superstar calls. Nobody else was. So that kind of physical, tough game, I think Deuce McBride kind of really reveled in. And once that play happened, he was confident. And the shot is looking really good. Like, it looks to me like he may be figuring it out offensively. Because, as I've said on the show a bunch, like, he goes anywhere else and plays on the basketball court, he typically shoots the ball great. Not even just good. He shoots the ball great. Great in the G League. Great in summer league. When he played at West Virginia, he was a really good shooter. Like, I evaluated Deuce McBride for the NBA draft. And one of the things I said was that he's a really good shooter. So, like, the fact that this has been, like, the part of his game that has really kept him from being able to be a consistent player is a little surprising because, like, he's always been a good shooter. So, Deuce shooting the ball well now. Sometimes I think one thing we kind of forget, too, about players is it takes some time to adjust to that three-point line. And that could be something happening too with him, like playing in an NBA game, a little more energy being exhausted in these games. You get a little more tired, and then you go back to that three-point line, and you know, he wasn't getting the results that he's now getting. You know, he's now had a couple of 3-4 games in a row where he shot the ball really well. So a great game for Deuce McBride. He definitely deserves a lot of credit. Josh Hart, again, just like the effort and the passing and the rebounding. Like, it's so daunting. It's so, like, refreshing to have a team where, like, rebounding is just, like, not an issue in, like, at all. Like, I it's rare that I look at a team in a game and I'm concerned about the Knicks being able to get beat on the glass. Like, there may be a few games over the last 2-3 months where that's happened. But, I mean, the Knicks, again, just dominating the Portland Trailblazers on the glass offensively and defensively. And a lot of that has to do with Josh Hart, his effort, boxing guys out, just flying in there, throwing his body, putting his body on the line for plays. The 9 rebounds, 8 assists to me almost were bigger than even the 16 points. He was phenomenal and just an all-around great win. Shout out to Emmanuel Quickly too. I mean, he continues to play extremely well. I thought in some ways, like, him kind of getting more aggressive in the second quarter also changed the game too, because it was clear that Randle didn't have it to start. And Barrett actually played okay, but then he got pulled early, which normally happens. That's how they do the rotations. So, you know, that first quarter, like, man really wasn't looking for his shot, and Grimes and Randle really weren't, I don't think they were ready to play, quite frankly. So the Knicks got down big. As he started looking for a shot more in the second quarter, and in that second half, in that third quarter, he really started to get aggressive, and that's when the Knicks really saw their great returns.
Yeah, I think I just, part of learning to be a starting point guard in the NBA, he realizes he can't, you know, free flow and kind of dictate the offense as much. You know, he's used to coming in with that second unit and kind of looking and shot hunting. He knows he has to get Randle involved. He knows Barrett wants to get some pitches, early on, get Grimes some looks, who Grimes, you know, continues to struggle. He needs to knock down some shots. Yeah, as you mentioned, in the third quarter, he was like, yo, I got this, you know, in the third quarter, he had 14 points on 5 field goal attempts. Again, you know, as we mentioned, doing a great job getting into the paint, getting the line, 6 points on the free throw line. He's really figuring out using his strength and that bulk that he added this summer to kind of draw fouls and finish in and around the basket. So, it's just, how about the fact that we didn't even really lead the show, had a few paragraphs in before we started talking about quickly. And the fact that he had 20, yeah. A team by 26 points, it's almost kind of expected, that's how well that this guy has played. And also just one turnover. The last nine games, he's committed a total of 9 turnovers in over 300 minutes. That's the way to Tibbs' heart is taking care of the basketball, being active defensively, and IQ brings all those things. And again, you mentioned rebounding, such an important component. You talk to NBA folks and they'll say, like, if you're looking to find out if teams are invested, if teams are playing hard, look to see if they box out, look to see if they rebound, because that's kind of the dirty work that you don't necessarily get credit for. If you box your guy out and allows your teammate to get a rebound, really a team concept type thing. If you protect the paint and rebound well, it's a good sign, especially on the defensive end, that you're committed to playing the right way and to playing with effort. So credit the team, credit to Tibbs for keeping the team ready. Just all those things together, a whole lot to be excited about.
A few more things on this game. One, I have never seen a Knick narrative get obliterated in one night like the Cam Reddish is a future star that the Knicks have missed out on, like that storyline happened in that game. I mean, Cam Reddish, 2 points, minus 27. The stat line, zero rebounds. One rebound, zero assists. He did have 2 steals, but he was 1 for 6 from the field, 0 for 3 from 3. I feel like now there will always be a segment of fans that will continue a narrative just to continue a narrative. But I feel like I think the vast majority of fans, like, that narrative is just like dead at this point. I mean, to have like Deuce and Hart have a game that dominant in a game where Cam Reddish was a game worse, minus 27, a game which he just looked lost. I don't know how this can even be a thing that we talk about anymore.
Well, no, I don't. I think that's a little bit misleading. I think it's all politics. That's the reason. The Blazers being outscored by 27 points with him on the floor actually had nothing to do with basketball. It was just because Tibbs doesn't like him. Yeah, and Leon Rose is cranky. I don't want to use pejorative terms, but anybody with some basketball sense realized that the acquisition of Hart and getting rid of Reddish was such an incredible upgrade for the Knicks, team as a whole, and just the way. And listen, the proof's in the pudding. I mentioned the numbers, how well the Knicks have played. And again, it just kind of goes back to the pod when we talked on Monday about guys just embracing their role. McBride, when he got benched, he didn't complain or bellyache or talk about BS or this, that, and the third, or demand a trade. He just accepted and embraced, his knowledge, which is a player is more prepared, certainly at this stage of his career, an established winner, a veteran. It gives the team a better chance to win. So I'm going to stay ready. Obviously, you don't anticipate Jalen Brunson getting hurt, but when Jalen Brunson got dinged up, he stepped in, and stepped up, the whole, stay ready so you don't have to get ready thing. And that's the opposite of what we've seen from Reddish. Again, Reddish is more talented than Deuce McBride. He's a higher pedigree. He's going to argue. I think he was the top rated player in his class, right? Or him and Zion and RJ.
Yeah, he was in top three, yeah.
We're right there with each other. And sometimes it's hard for guys to accept that role. So I hope Reddish, he's going to get another chance. He's going to be a free agent, whether it's in Portland or another situation. Hopefully he kind of, uses this as a growing, as a learning opportunity. But that's some other team's issue right now. The Knicks have to be very happy with the decision they've made and kind of the construction of this roster going forward.
Yeah, I mean, look, I wish Cam well. Like, I hope that he figures it out, whether it's in Portland or somewhere else. But it's just it's not. It's really nothing to do with him. It's this. In some ways, I think a lot of his supporters, have actually kind of set him up to fail because they prop him up as this like unbelievable guy that once he plays, like, everybody will see. And it's like, I know he talked about playing in New York, feeling like he had to make every shot, in part because of the fact that he could get yanked at any moment from Tibbs. I kind of feel like he plays with Portland or any other team. I'm like, yo, if he plays, he better do something. Because, like, the way his fans talk about him on the internet, like, you think that he's next Tracy McGrady, you know? So, I think that this is a big moment. I think that it maybe got to him. That's why he played so poorly. And I'm looking on Twitter and I'm seeing Blazer fans saying, you know, where's Shaedon Sharpe? Why is he playing? And I'm like, well, he's not playing because you're playing Cam Reddish. So I don't know what you want me to say. All I heard was that this is a guy that had to get minutes. And yes, he goes to another team. And now other young promising players aren't getting minutes because they got to see what they have in Cam Reddish. So Knicks win this one, 123-107. Any concern about the Mitchell Robinson comments? Like, you know, we've seen this from him before a lot last season. But that was almost more understandable because the team was so bad. Like, the Knicks have had a really great season. They've had a really great post All-Star game stretch here. And they ended the West Coast trip on two straight wins. Now you have Mitch going to Snapchat to talk about how he's just getting cardio. He's not getting involved. I mean, any concern about him expressing his concerns there?
Not yet. Because as you mentioned, somebody had posted in reply at Snapchat. He said, last year, one thing I learned after every game, literally running for cardio and playing help defense, let's get it, LOL. That was a Snapchat from last year. Yeah. Had he included an LOL in this? People probably wouldn't be making such a big deal of it. Listen, should he have, first and foremost, should the Knicks involve him in the offense more? Absolutely, they should. Yeah. Not just to keep him happy, and because he's been solid contributor, especially on the offensive glass, on the defensive end. He's been an important part of their success, but because it helps the team win. You have a lob threat that can take the top off of defense, gives you more space. It makes guys help defenders more hesitant to leave. You know, Grimes is going to get more open looks. IQ is going to get more open looks. Barrett's going to get more open looks if defenders are worried about Mitch pick and rolling and then throwing lobs to him at the top of the rim. So the Knicks should involve him more offensively. That being said, so I understand Mitch's frustration. That being said, completely inexcusable to express your frustration on social media. It's 2023, this day and age. You may think, I'm just going to do it in a moment of frustration. Nobody's going to notice. Somebody's going to screen cap it. Somebody's going to post it on Twitter, and then it's going to go viral or, you know, whatever. Yeah. At least he deleted it. He had the common sense to delete it. I'm sure he's going to get yelled at by his agent. I'm sure Tibbs and, you know, and then we're going to sit down and say, hey, Mitch, let's stay off social media. Again, assuming he comes in on, you know, whenever the next practice, Knicks open practice will be Wednesday, Thursday. I'm not sure when they're going to meet with the media. He'll come out and say, listen, moment of frustration, stupidity. We're 11 games over 500. That's all I care about. I expect him to say that. Even if he doesn't feel that way, you're professional. You have to do what's best for the team. You're on a winning team. You're an important part of that when you're the starting center on the best Knicks team in a decade. So handle yourself the right way. If you are frustrated, and frustration's understandable, go to the coaching staff, talk to Brunson, talk to IQ, and say, hey, guys, can I get a few more looks? That's kind of where I feel. I'm not overly concerned about it right now, assuming he handles it right going forward.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think it'd be different if the team was losing. I think also when we think of last season, remember, he was also in a contract year. So part of that also is like, you know, hey, you guys are messing my money by not giving me any touches. So like now you've gotten paid, your team is winning. Okay, yes, this is a game where you played 21 minutes, had two shots. I can't understand feeling like, how did I get that many minutes in this game and I didn't get any opportunities to score and help the team? So I get that. Just can't create a distraction for your team. That's the biggest thing is – the Knicks are playing good basketball. They've been really focused for a lot of the season. But honestly, the only distractions they had were James Dolan. Like, there's really been no issues with this team regarding, like, anything off the court or anything. I mean, Randle had his moment in L.A., but that was even in a game. It wasn't, like, a distraction that happened from outside of the game. So, like, everybody's been on the same page. Everybody's been moving forward in one direction. So you can't be the one guy that's going in a different direction, because then that kind of brings now an element to your team and a distraction to your team that is detrimental. So I think Mitch at this – and that's what kind of – the only thing that I think that is a little frustrating for me, and why I don't want to say I'm concerned, but it is noteworthy to me, is that, like, I think Mitch knows that. Like, he's not dumb. Like, he knows that this is going to be a distraction. And it's like, I mean, is getting more shots, like, that important to you regardless of whether your team is winning? Like, I don't know. So I wasn't thrilled with this. I kind of hope that Mitch would have put this stuff to bed last season after we saw him kind of do this kind of stuff last season, but him doing this stuff again, just something to keep in mind. Like, again, I think if you're a Knicks front office, like, you gotta know what you're dealing with all your players, and you learn things about your players over the course of these years. And we know that Mitchell Robinson will go to social media if he doesn't get enough shots or whatever. And you have to think about that when you're building this team moving forward. Does that mean, oh, put him on the trade block tomorrow? No. But it's just something to keep in mind. And hopefully he'll be smarter, he'll be wiser, and that we won't have to deal with Mitch Robinson doing this kind of thing, especially after a win. If they lost, I almost wouldn't mind this stuff. But that was one of the best that you know, I know we've racked them up, but that was one of the best wins of the next season, considering they were down 16 points and all the hoopla with Cam Reddish and Josh Hart trade, and they have that great second half. Like, to have, they even have to waste oxygen on this. Not just for us, but, you know, of course, the team. Now, once they get back and they talk to the media, is pointless. So, hopefully.
Congratulate Deuce McBride on his season high. Don't worry about the field goal.
Yeah, exactly. Hopefully, Mitch understands. Shout out to Mitch. You know, it's a very important part of the team. They need to focus. Mitch want to do big things. So,
this episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.